Well, good morning. Let me just ask the Lord to help us as we prepare to look into his word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. I just ask now for your help. Help me to present your word accurately, clearly, and in a way that sticks in each of our hearts to draw us closer to you. Just ask that you'll help the words to come out of my lips right and the words to go into the ears of each one here in a way that you intend. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. This first slide here is designed to put a picture in your mind to help lock in some of the ideas that we're going to talk about this morning. And interestingly enough, and this is pretty common, it's almost like it's expected at this point. Lord orchestrates some of the thoughts between the two speakers, and I can assure you Matthew and I didn't coordinate with each other, but there were a lot of things that he talked about this morning that tie right into what this lesson is going to cover. In this slide, we see an example of a little boy following an older man, perhaps his father, and he's kind of walking like he is. You know, he's copying him. And you know, we tend to do that, especially little children tend to do that. They copy people that they respect, people that they even maybe worship. Ultimately, true worship belongs only to the Lord, doesn't it? But sometimes we displace that worship and we copy people that we shouldn't. Copying good people is good. Paul said, as far as I follow Christ, you follow me. So it's appropriate for us to follow godly examples. Years ago, there was a singer. He was well known. This was probably the middle or a little after the middle of the last century. How many have ever heard of Elvis Presley? Okay, pretty famous. There's a picture of him. He became known as the king of rock and roll. Now, Elvis wasn't one of my heroes. I didn't feel like the music that he generally portrayed was something that, for the most part, led people toward the Lord. And it provided a foundation for other singers to come in behind him and present some pretty ungodly music that led people away from the Lord. But people copied him. For whatever reason, they respected him. They loved him. They maybe even worshiped him in some respects. And as they did so, they began to look more like him. That second picture isn't Elvis Presley. That second picture is of a man named Mr. Mark Anthony, and he was an Elvis Presley impersonator. And there were a lot of impersonators. If you go look on the internet, you'll find all sorts of people that were trying to look like him, walk like him, dress like him, comb their hair like him, talk like him, sing like him. They wanted to be almost indistinguishable from this man named Elvis Presley. They started pretty young. He's already starting to try to make that hair do some of this stuff in the front that Elvis Presley tried to do with his hair. Unfortunately, we've become a society of non-discriminating hero worshiping people. How many have seen that for yourselves? Seen people following rock stars, Hollywood actors and actresses, football players, basketball players. And what do? They copy and emulate and try to look and act and talk and dress and even comb their hair like that person. And I fear that society in many ways is following these people down a pathway to hell. That's a pretty hard saying, but I think it's true. They're following the wrong examples. Well, what's my assignment today? And Tompi already knows what my assignment today is. He called me about a month ago and said, could you speak on the Sunday between Christmas and New Year? And as we spoke, he suggested it would be really nice to have something that could go from the season we've just been through and look forward into that new year, 2019, with some words of encouragement. And why do we need encouragement? Well, we need encouragement because there's much afoot to cause discouragement. We have negative role models. They're advancing on all sides, both inside and outside so-called churches. We've got Christians being marginalized, Christians being even persecuted all over the world, and increasingly here in this country as well. We as Christians fail the Lord every day, don't we? How many here have ever failed the Lord? Yeah, a lot of hands. We fail the Lord every day, and there's a number of ways in which we do that. We do that through bitterness. The Bible has warnings about husbands having bitterness toward their wives, because bitterness grows and it causes problems. It has an urgency not to have bitterness, a root of bitterness growing up among ourselves. And I think there's another form of bitterness, and even and Matthew even alluded to this to some degree. Bitterness that can grow up in the heart of the Christian toward those persecutors that do bad things to us. We can become bitter to those horrible people out there that are trying to put Christians down, when in fact, the fact that they're doing that is just a real indication they need the Lord that we know. And sometimes it's hard to get that back into our heads. So we fail the Lord every day. Are you encouraged yet? Okay, well, that's why we need to talk about encouragement going into the new year. There's a traditional way that many people deal with the new year. Anybody know what that is? A New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution. How many have ever made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? How many found that they didn't work for you very well? Why is that? And I think there's a couple of good reasons why that is. We don't know the future. There's only one that does. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." But that's God, that's not us. So as we look into the new year and try to decide, okay, what resolution should I make this year? We really don't know what's going to happen to us, do we? So we don't know what flaws in our personality are going to be tested that we can make a resolution about. But even if we do find, or did find, the right resolution to pick, we have an inner nature that is causing us to behave the way that we do. We find in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." We have an inner nature. Even Christians, even though we have a nature that's been redeemed, we still have characteristics that often don't follow the Lord very well. And those characteristics don't get changed by making a resolution. And it's those characteristics that are going to do next year exactly what we did last year. So making the resolution is usually pretty fruitless. By the way, let me pause here for a moment and point out that this handout has been handed out. And you should find the scripture passages that we're dealing with this morning listed, at least by reference. This is designed to help you go home if you have some points that you'd like to reconsider to look at this. Also, on the kind of on the middle of this handout is an article that I wrote, and I wanted to say just a couple of words about what stimulated that article. It was Tompey's call, when he said, could you talk about something that's encouraging? And as I thought about that, it was time for me to write the article for the newspaper for the following week. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll write an article that deals with what's coming to mind here as I prepare for this lesson today. And this article, Follow the Lamb, or Worship the Lamb, He'll Change You. That deals with the issue we just discussed, that inner part of us that needs to change in order for our behavior next year to become more like what it should be in contrast to the previous year. So if you get a chance after the lesson, read through that article, and I've got some tract forms of this article up here for you to come and help yourself to if you want to give it out to somebody else. It basically has a gospel message in it and asks the reader, are you going to follow the Lamb, or are you going to follow the other course? The other course that doesn't lead to the right place. Our persistent behavior, that which is going to, we're going to have to carry us through in the new year, our persistent behavior is dependent on spiritual issues. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9 says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And it goes on to talk about how carnal-mindedness is death. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it says at the end, he is none of his. So we first of all need the Spirit of Christ inside, and then have to look to the Lord to have that Spirit change continuously, change, make us more and more like Christ. As we worship Christ, remember that little boy that was trying to comb his hair to look like Elvis Presley? Remember that man that was trying to be an Elvis Presley impersonator? Well, we want to be Christ impersonators. We want to look like and act like Christ. And the only way to do that is to have our hearts full of worship for our Savior as we go forward into the new year. So, let's get to the beginning of our study. We're going to start at the very beginning. One song that I heard once said that's a good place to start. Some of you may remember the song that I'm thinking of. We're going to talk about, first of all, evidences that you are God's child. And then assurances to those who are God's children. And then I added a fourth main point. I usually have three. I finally decided I needed to add four because I wanted to ask the question, what will help cause us to truly worship Him? So let's start, and we're going to have to really move through this quickly. So in a lot of cases, I may just summarize the passage listed there rather than reading it in its entirety. But I'd like to encourage you to go back and read those passages on your own to make sure I didn't take it out of context, and to also become familiar with the context yourself. So let's start at the very beginning. Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth, and we find early in Genesis that Adam and Eve sinned and brought forth death to all mankind. And after sinning, what happened? Adam and Eve hid themselves. Why? Because their spirits had died. They no longer sought that fellowship with God, and their bodies followed suit soon after. And you say, well, they didn't die that quickly. Adam lived over 900 years. But you know, that's soon after compared to how long they would have lived. They would have still been alive today physically if sin hadn't occurred. So they died soon after physically. What the spirit did, the body soon followed. And so man was cast into a mode of being sinful. All of Adam's and Eve's descendants came into this world as sinners. But you know, God didn't wait very long to talk about the solution. In fact, it was right there as Adam and Eve were still dealing with the issue that they had sinned, and the devil was still there, and God was saying to the devil, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. In other words, that's telling the devil, he's going to devastate you, but you're going to bruise his heel. And that's what the cross was all about. It was a painful suffering that God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered at the hands of the devil to some degree in order to purchase our redemption. And so God brought this salvation plan to the attention of Adam and Eve almost immediately after the fall. Isn't that wonderful? And then he showed them a picture of it. He got some animals and killed them, shed their blood, made coats to cover the sinful nakedness of Adam and Eve. And then at the appointed time, and I'd like to just read Galatians 4:4-5, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But he also made it clear, God made it clear, that only those who have Christ as their Savior, those who receive him and repent of their sins and ask him for forgiveness, they're the only ones that benefit from the sacrificial redemption. In John chapter 3, verse 36, which is in the same passage that has John 3:16. We'd like to quote John 3:16, but let's look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Every year, people are either blessed or they're not blessed. And you know, the only way for you to be blessed in this coming year is to either already be saved and follow God's plan for your life in this new year, or to get saved in the coming year. If you are not saved now, and you don't become saved in the coming year, this coming year is not a blessing at all. It's a year that you've come closer to your ultimate eternal punishment. So blessing in the new year comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Having said that, let's look at some of the evidences we should be looking for in ourselves. You know, God himself tells us to examine ourselves in 2 Corinthians 13:5. But what evidences should we look for? Well, first of all, we should look for the fact that we love Christ. If your life is a life is showing a love for Christ, you're showing that you are saved. If any person doesn't love Christ, it says that he's anathema. And then it says, Maranatha, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back quickly. So the evidence we should look for is a life giving evidence that we love Christ. We should also look for evidence of the fact that Christ has changed us. Romans 8, 9. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. He has been changed. And if we don't see the evidence of that change, maybe we need to consider whether or not we have been. If we haven't been, we need to be. Evidence that we have the Spirit of Christ. We've looked at Romans 8, 9 very briefly already. Beware, and I see a lot of people do this, beware of placing your faith in a false profession or in a religious system. You can talk to some people and they say, oh, I got that covered. I go to church. I've got that covered. I have more good works than bad works. And you know, none of that buys you anything. In fact, God says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Only Christ in our hearts, the Spirit of Christ, that's the only one. He is the only one that can save us. So beware of placing your faith in anything or anyone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But what are the assurances going forward into 2019 that those who really do belong to Christ have? This may sound like a negative thing, but it's actually a wonderful thing. These people will sorrow when they sin. How many here have ever had sorrow over sin as a Christian? The people that don't belong to Christ, they don't sorrow over their sin. They may regret the fact they're going to be punished for it, but there's no true desire to be cleansed. And Christ says of those that belong to him that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins, and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so thankful for the fact that I can look to the Lord and say, Lord, just cleanse me of this evil mode of thought. Cleanse me of this bad thought in my heart, or this thought that's not looking at you, this thought that's getting wrapped up with other things rather than yourself. And he can cleanse us. He can change that. And he's the only one that can. Remember the hero worshipers that we looked at earlier in this lesson? They began to look like the ones they were copying. That's what we want ourselves to do. As we look to Christ, we learn more about what he's like and become like him. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear. And if you remember nothing else about this lesson today, remember these next few words. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Genuine Christians ultimately cannot be defeated. And you can read all of Romans 8, verses 28 to 39. I'm going to read you the very last part of that. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are great assurances going into 2019 that the Christian, not the unbeliever, but the Christian has. I'd like to just move on to our final point here and consider something that can help us actually realize a little bit more who this Lord is that we say we worship. And, you know, it's so easy for us to recognize a few things about the Lord. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose again. And I don't mean to minimize those things at all. But who is this one that did that? And I think if we consider a little bit more what the Bible itself points out, that the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth showeth forth his handiwork, we sometimes forget that part of it. We forget that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's the one that made it all. And Isaiah 9:6 is, it says his name is wonderful. That's a noun. That's not an adjective. It's not an adjective modifying creator. It's a noun in its own right. He's the wonderful one. He's the one that does wonders. And he's counselor. He's the one who has purposed in himself, and he's going to do everything he purposed. You know, the same word that's used for counselor there, which is the word Yawatz. It's from the Hebrew Chaldee dictionary. It's word 3289 in the Strong's Concordance. That same word 3289 is the word purposed, where it says in Isaiah 14:24, "As I have purposed, so shall it stand." Same word. When he expresses the idea that he's counselor, he's the one that purposes, and he carries out his purposes according to his own counsel. He's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. And I'm going to flip to another slide here. I want to talk just a little bit about what he created, because this is, to me, exciting. I spent some time researching some astronomical things. This universe that Jesus Christ himself created is an amazing cosmic clock. It's accurate, it's precise, it never misses a beat. People can predict star configurations for centuries in the future. And they can go back and retrograde that back to centuries and millennia in the past. And it just keeps perfect time all the time. And it's huge. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. That's 7.5 times around the world in 1 second. Anybody ever circumnavigate the globe that fast? 7.5 times around the world in 1 second. It's fast. But you know, it takes light 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get from the sun to here. And we're 93 million miles from the sun. But if you go out to the far reaches of our solar system, it's huge, billions of miles out beyond the Earth is a planet, they now call it a dwarf planet, Pluto. And there's actually a satellite that's been out there and taken some pictures. And I've seen some artist conceptions that have kind of conglomerated some of those pictures. It's really incredible. If you were to look at the sun from Pluto, it'd be just like a big star in the sky. And it's cold out there. Out there, nitrogen, which freezes at, I believe it's minus 341 degrees Fahrenheit, is frozen. On the planet Pluto, nitrogen is frozen. It's in the frozen state because it doesn't get as much heat as the Earth does. It wouldn't be a fun place to live. It's over 3 billion miles out there. But that's small compared to the galaxy that we're in. We're about halfway between the outer edge of our galaxy and the center of our galaxy. And you know, if you were to get on one side of that galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and turn on a bright beam of light to point it to the far other side of the galaxy, that light, which takes 5.5 hours to get to Pluto, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, that light would take over 100,000 years to cross our galaxy. You think that's big? How many think that's big? It's small. Galaxies, the nearest galaxy to us, other than the Milky Way itself, which we're in, is a galaxy called Andromeda Galaxy. The Andromeda Galaxy is about 2.5 million light years away. To shine that flashlight and get a message to the Andromeda Galaxy, it would take 2.5 million years for that light to get there. You think that's big? That's small. The average distance between galaxies that are closely clustered is about 10.5 million light years. So, you know, there's a few galaxies out there. Is that right? A few galaxies? Not thousands. They estimate right now, based on galaxies they can see with the Hubble telescope, that there are at least 100 billion galaxies out there. Christ made all that. You realize that? 100 billion galaxies out there. And the only reason it's only 100 billion galaxies is the telescopes haven't gotten good enough yet. They expect shortly, with the next generation of Hubble-like telescopes, they're going to see at least 200 billion galaxies. And that'll only be because the telescopes aren't big enough yet. What Christ created is huge, beyond our wildest imaginations. And these are distances that we can't even fathom. Let's get back to our main outline here. He's the everlasting Father. I thought he was the Son. He is. But he's the everlasting Father. That's one of his names. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's proof positive that Christ is God, one with the Father, the Everlasting Father. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. One of Christ's names ties him right into the Trinity. He's the everlasting Father. He's one with the Father. And here is probably the most wonderful name for us that he is, that he has. He's the Prince of Peace. Because we came into this world wretched and wicked and sinners, we had no hope of peace. You know, God never offered the fallen angels peace. He's got hell, the lake of fire, reserved for them. He could have done the same with us. But because of God's purpose that he purposed toward us, his image bearers, he made us in his image, and I don't fully comprehend all of that entails, but he chose to give us peace through Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only source of this peace. Christ said, I am the way. He said this to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the one and only Prince of Peace. Well, I think I've finally gotten to my conclusion. Wow. My dad used to say, nothing can cause me to die until the Lord says so. That's in his hands. There's really nothing you or I can do to change God's ultimate plan for us. Now, do people kill themselves? Yeah, that's a wicked thing. But you know, they can't even do that if God doesn't allow it. They can't do that. They can purpose it and God can change their minds before they do it. God's ultimate plan will be accomplished. And for the Christian, that's good news. That's wonderful news. That's what my dad used to say. I can't die until God says so. Those who are the sheep that Christ knows also know and love him. They are eternally in his absolute care, and nothing can ever change that. As you head into the new year, will you be seeking to copy Christ? Be like him. If you seek to copy him, you will become more and more like him. As you worship him for who he is, if you begin to recognize just a little bit of what he created and how amazing that makes the fact that he's the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, how can your heart fail to just go, wow? And as we begin to experience a little bit of that wow about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to make us more like him. And that's what's going to change our 2019. But I'd ask a sobering question. Is there anybody here that's going to go ahead and just copy other worldly hero figures? Are you going to copy those evil pathways to hell? Are you going to come to Christ and come to be more like him and to grow in his love and to know him as you progress through 2019? Who will be the hero you worship this year? Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for just showing us a little bit of how incredibly amazing you are. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We ask that you'll help us as we seek to be more like you in the coming year. We do thank you for the food that's been provided. We just thank you that in all of the things that are going on, even things like meals, you take care of for us every day for the most part. We ask that you be with us as we enjoy the meal together and enjoy our fellowship with each other. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.